The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Peter James. Can you hear me? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Peter James, and welcome to Think and Grow Rich, a mastermind. This morning, we are the International Mastermind Association, and our hosts today are Anne McNeil, Ursula Odom, and yours truly, Peter A. James. We have a special guest as well, who is Shamika Brathwaite. We're going to talk about her in just a little bit, but I'm so excited that you were all able to join us this Saturday morning. I'm so excited about this book that we go over and talk about and extrapolate from the guest perspective. We also dive into the guest background and what he or she is doing in their careers and their lives. And then, of course, in this case, we have a great young lady who's going to be telling us about what she does for her career. But without further ado, we want to talk about our guest today. And so I want to go into our host, Anne McNeil. And Ms. Anne McNeil, you are the backbone of this entire International Mastermind Association. Do you mind sharing with us a little bit about yourself and then maybe even a little bit about Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich and also this chapter 6, Organized Planning? I know that's a whole lot I just kind of introduced to you right away, but Ms. Anne, would you mind taking the mic?
All right. Again, this is Anne McNeil, the master builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm very excited today, again, to be on this show talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. But this Saturday, we're discussing the Organized Planning chapter. But before I get into the chapter, I just want to encourage everybody to think about this question. If you could just imagine, someone asked you to make a 20-year commitment to research the philosophy of success and find out what are the success principles which determine why is it that some people are very successful and some are not. And that's exactly what Andrew Carnegie did when he asked Napoleon Hill that question. If he would be willing to take 20 years of his life and create a philosophy of success by interviewing and cataloging information from the very successful and those who are unsuccessful, just imagine if that were you, if you were Napoleon Hill. That's the way I'd like to start this show off, because this show is about organized planning. And we've already gone through many of the success principles espoused in this book. This book is the product of the research that was undertaken by Napoleon Hill. But the key to that question that was asked was the fact that Andrew Carnegie told Hill, I will not pay you a dime. Wow. And so when we think about the organized planning that we do in our jobs, in our careers, in our businesses, I'd also like to challenge us to think about the organized planning that we should do in our lives. Taking that quiet time, when I went through these pages again, and I thought about my aha moment. And my aha moment in this chapter of organized planning, where Napoleon Hill talks about the fact that organized planning is the crystallization of desire into action. And like you said, Peter, it is considered to be the sixth step to riches. And when I went through and began to look at, for this show, what was my aha moment? And my aha moment actually in the version of the book that we're using is on page 112, where Napoleon Hill talks about the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. And coincidentally, I'm reading a book about Lincoln on leadership and Lincoln's success principles that he used when he was president. And then I looked at these qualities and these causes that many of us, I'll just speak for myself, the very first one he talks about is the inability to organize details. And I said, what does that look like in my life? And so, Peter, I then began to look around me at my surroundings at home and at work and realize I needed to get a little better organized. You know, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about that. But I have made a commitment to myself that this entire month, while I'm in the organized chapter, I am organizing every single area that I could think of from a list of things that I've listed. So the inability to organize details, he says, efficient leadership calls for the ability to organize and to master details. Genuine leaders are never too busy to do anything which may be required of them in their capacity as leaders. Whenever people, whether they are leaders or followers, admit that they are too busy to change their plans or to give attention to any emergency, they admit their inefficiency. Successful leaders must be the master of all details connected with their position. That means Ann McNeil, that you must acquire the habit of delegating details to capable lieutenants. And that's where I am. That's my aha moment, and I'm sticking with it. Thank you, Peter.
I love it. I love it. Ms. Ann, you have provided us a little bit of insight into this great book, and Napoleon Hill has really has blessed us, for lack of a better word, with some tools that really can allow us to be successful as and whatever is success as we define it. So thank you so much for sharing that, Ms. Ann. Without further ado, let's go on to our next host, Ms. Ursula Odom. Ms. Ursula, I am so happy that you are here with us this morning as well to discuss this great book of Think and Grow Rich and also to share it with our guest and find out how she utilizes it as well. But before we dive into all of that, tell us about yourself, Ms. Ursula, and also how you've come upon this book and what it means to you, what your ahas are around this book, if you don't mind.
Oh, good morning, Peter. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to share, because I tell you, there have been a lot of things that have happened this morning that are ahas. And as it relates to this chapter, it is so profound. But before I go into that, I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make all new in everything we do. So with that being said, what that means is that we will take old stories, your life story, your company story, the story of a community, and bring it to life in a new way. And that may be in the form of a book, a legacy video, a legacy wall, which really is taking off right now, or just to have a reenactment of a person's life brought to stage. Whatever it is that can tell that story, that's what we go after. And make it a learning moment. To that end, organized planning, I am knee deep in that right now because there are a couple of projects that have just taken place over the last couple of months that if they were my first project, I would never do them again. And I won't say what, but Lord have mercy, all the lessons I could learn happened all at once. And I'm glad they were, I mean, like the first several things I was doing over the several years just ran smoothly. And then challenges happened. And those challenges, as it turns out, forced me to do things bigger and better than I had done them before. And I am really happy because being in this chapter, what I sat down and did was wrote down all of the things that need to be organized or create some structure, some guidance, some rule to handle the situation in the future. So it pushed me beyond where I had been before, but it also sets me up for great expansion as time goes on. And it reminds me of something that I did years ago when I had a life-changing event happen. I lost a dear person in my life. And I said, okay, what am I going to do now? So what I did was I sat down and I put a line down the middle of the paper. And on the left-hand side, I put everything on there that I had ever learned. Everything that I'd learned, everything that I like, everything that I did. And on the right-hand side, I said, what do I do with it? Do I still do this? Do I still like it? Do I make money with it? And it helped me to see that all these diverse things that I thought I was doing actually fit a pattern. And that's how I came up with we make old new in everything we do, because they all centered around tools that would help me tell the story. And to that end, in talking to Anne this morning as we were planning for the show, and she was teaching us some things, I realized my major aha is that all of the things that she talked about technically, I knew how to do. So over the years, I have learned almost everything. I can do this, I can do that. And once I learn it, that was good enough for me. But then I realized by taking this chapter and listening to her this morning is that, okay, so I learned how to do it. I know what to do. I know how to do, but I don't know why to do or when to do. And organized planning now with that new focus, I will take these skills that I have, focus on one at a time, maybe 1 month at a time, and determine why I should have that skill and how I can make it work for me or my client. So that's my aha for the day. Thank you very much.
Wow. Wow, I was not expecting that, Ursula. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was phenomenal. Understanding the why behind what you do. And why what you do and why you do what you do. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's actually a lesson for all of us, including myself. So a little bit about me. My name is Peter James. I am a professor. I'm a speaker. But more importantly, I am a business and leadership coach that focuses on shifting one's mindset. I believe that as we think, so goes how we act. And I think that migrates over very, very well to this great book that many look at as a personal development and self-improvement book provided by Napoleon Hill, where he provides 13 steps to success or riches, as the title says. And the sixth step, of course, is organized planning. I love this chapter wholeheartedly because it really provides some nuggets here that dictate and say, here's part of this journey, here's part of this process. And one of the pages that I love in this text is, I believe it's page 106, where Napoleon Hill tells us about Thomas Edison. And we know Thomas Edison as the individual who created the light bulb or discovered the light bulb. But he mentions in there about how many times Thomas Edison failed before he achieved this great invention. And actually, he said Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times before he perfected this light bulb. And some of us, when we get into a new venture, when we get into a new career, when we get into a new phase of our life, we look for success quickly. And when we don't see that quickness of success, that expeditiousness of success, if that's a word, we get frustrated. We sometimes quit. And that is definitely not the way to go. I think you have to learn, as I tell a lot of my clients, you have to learn to love the word no. You have to learn to embrace failure, because failure is not even really failure. I look at them more as just setbacks, but also learning tools that allow us to understand the process better and also make the outcome better. So you're going to hear no's. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to see a lot of and be involved with a lot of setbacks, but don't let them discourage you, because you will be able to get to that level eventually as long as you remain persistent, which is another chapter in the text, but we won't go into that right now. The other part of this chapter that I love so much is, before we go on break, is some people foolishly believe that only money can make money. But this is definitely not true, because Napoleon Hill says that desire that is transmuted into some type of monetary equivalent is the agency through which money is made, desire. And one of the first times that I read this book, that just jumped off the pages to me, and it has really spoken to me ever since. That, you know, it doesn't always just take money to make money. You have to have that passion. You have to have that desire that you can see things through those 10,000 failures. And so that's just my biggest aha from this book. And I'm just so excited to share it with everyone today. So without further ado, let's go ahead and take a commercial break. And when we come back on the flip side, we're going to dive into our distinguished guest for this morning. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Number 1 is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling a reason for doing what it is we do. Step 2 is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step 3 is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step 6, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says, that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires, that if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Okay, all right, we are back after going into these steps from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. My name is Peter A. James. Thank you for being here with us this morning. We have a host, Ann McNeil, on the call with us this morning. We have our host, Ursula Odom, on the call with us this morning. But without further ado, we have a distinguished guest, Shamika Breathway. Shamika, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. I am energized. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. A little bit about yourself. Shamika is a peak performance strategist and a CEO of Shamika Breathway Enterprises, LLC. As the creator of the Distinctive Factor Academy for High Achievers, she is fiercely committed to guiding professional leaders on how to discover, leverage, and slay their distinctive factor in the marketplace through her trainings and through her coaching programs. Shamika, first of all, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. And I just gave you a great lead-in, but I want to first ask you, you know, go into depth a little bit more. Tell us about yourselves and and what you do overall for our listeners.
Yes, thank you. So I love to work with professionals and being able to have the opportunity to connect with others and to help and to train is something that has been a long time passion of mine. I'm able to really just have the opportunity to connect with young professionals, people who are creative, service-oriented providers in various service sectors. And it's really been a pleasure to travel, to speak, and to connect with those individuals. And as I work every day, so I am a speaker, but also an educator as well. I'm involved with my community. I'm really big on giving back and having a servant leader mindset. So I love to give back to my community. I enjoy time with my family. And everything that I do integrates. And we are really focused on building a dynasty and leaving a legacy to our children.
I love that. I love that. Building a dynasty and leaving a legacy. I like that a whole lot. I might have to steal that. Can I steal that from you a little bit?
Steal that a little bit. Yes.
Just a little bit. Some here and there as well. But thank you again so much for joining us today. So excited to dive into you a little bit, but also dive into you from a perspective of think and grow rich. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we have some great co-hosts who have joined me and who would like to ask you a few questions. I think who we have first on our desk or on deck is President Ann McNeil. Miss Ann, any questions for Shamika out the gate?
Yeah, absolutely. We met actually through Black NSA, and that's Blacks inside of the National Speakers Association, where I had the pleasure of coaching a mastermind group, actually two or three times a year, for the last almost four years. And Shamika, you were in one of those sessions. And so what I'd like to have you share with us is, first of all, how did you come to this book? Or how did the book come to you? That's my first question. And then second, if you would share your experience inside of that mastermind group. Because like I shared earlier, one of the things I always like to do is encourage us to consider creating and forming a mastermind group of accountability of like minds and like spirits. And one of the benefits we all had as a part of Blacks in NSA was the fact that we mastermind our speaking business. But this show and the way we mastermind as a part of the Thinking for Rich International Masterminders is we mastermind our total life. And the business is just one part of that. So if you could share, how did you come about the book? And then secondly, what was your experience inside of that Black NSA mastermind group?
Yes, thank you, Anne. I had the opportunity to learn about this book maybe perhaps 15 years ago. And it really was one of those must-read books of all time that was on my reading list. And what really connected me with the book at the time, about 11 years ago, my husband and I, we actually were courting at that time. And as a couple, we decided that, number one, we had to be like-minded in order to move forward and really start setting the foundation of what we want our life to be. And together we read the book Think and Grow Rich. We did the audio book as well as read the book together. And that's one of the premises that we together as a family, and now we have two sons that lead and drive our vision of what it is that we want to do. So that's how come, you know, we came up with our own family motto, build a dynasty, leave a legacy. And that think and grow rich philosophy is very key. Every day we are trying to live it, and there are challenges, but, you know, we try to live it to manifest everything that life has in store for us. And what is really great about a few years later, being part of the National Speakers Association, the opportunity to join the mastermind group was something that I was really intrigued of being a participant in. And it was really great. I'm still part of the mastermind circle. I've learned so much and connected with other speakers. And what was really great about it was that this was a mastermind group, or it still is a mastermind group, that meets on a weekly basis, going into details of the book and applying it to our business. So just being able to speak those goals every day, to meditate and to manifest those opportunities in my life has been extremely beneficial. And I recommend it to a lot of people, new speakers, seasoned speakers, everyone who I know in my network. I highly recommend the Black National Speakers Association Mastermind group to them.
Awesome, Shamika. Miss Ann, thank you for that, those great questions. Shamika, that mastermind philosophy that Napoleon Hill has introduced to us is so, so important. And it sounds like that this type of a setting where you meet with others who can hold you accountable has really allowed you to see success in your life, has really allowed you to take yourself and your business to the next level. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's so, so phenomenal. Ms. Ursula, I think you're kind of waiting in the wings, chomping at the bit to ask Shamika a question. She's all queued up for you. What you got? What do you have for us?
Well, actually, her email got me going. my question is, what organizing planning strategies have helped you get to where you are today? And I tell you why that's interesting to me. When in your signature, it's a call to action. You click on it and there's something that starts your pipeline, and it's actually going to cause me to change my signature with some organized planning of what people are supposed to do when they click on that link. So first of all, congratulations. That was pretty cool to do. Now, with that as a basis, what else have you got going on with that?
just when it comes to organized planning, just looking back at my life and just thinking about all the different steps, I've always loved organized planning. I'm a natural planner. I love, planning things out in detail. And prior to being a speaker, my original career was working in the fashion industry as a technical designer. So I worked with the fashion designers who had a vision and a dream of what it is they wanted to accomplish. And my job was to, and my responsibility was to literally break down the process step by step in very intricate detail on how to make that garment and to produce it and send that information to the production workers overseas to make the garments. So really just taking things step by step, literally. If you're ever familiar with the process of sewing, this is a million times more complicated because you're verbally writing down in detail, in full description, the step-by-step process of making this garment. And I didn't stay in the industry too long. And what is very interesting is when I felt that it was time for me to go, literally the day I said I would make the plan to resign, the next day everyone was laid off and lost their jobs or was downsized.
Wow.
And what I've learned from that is when you plan to do something, do it. Because what if I didn't hold to that plan of resigning that day and moving forward with my new career, which of course is career development and career counseling, I would have been a person who was reactive and responding to what others and life thrown at me versus being proactive. So since then, I've worked in education. I'm an education leader, and those skill sets helped me to become a better planner, having lesson plans and writing out curriculum. You have to be very organized. If you want to meet an organized person, meet an educator because they are very organized. So those are some of the many hats that I wear as an entrepreneur, but also being someone who works in academia, empowering young professionals every day, coaching them, training them, the future leaders of tomorrow.
You know, thank you very much. But your story reminds me of something that I heard years ago about why a person made a change in his life. And what it was is that he was second to the top person in a major corporation, and nobody could tell him anything about life because, you know, life was good, bought a big house, had a big family. I mean, everything was good. Until the boss went out of town and he had the key to the office and had to take care of some things. He went into that office, looked at the paperwork that was there, looking for whatever he needed to do to make the decisions that were needed that day, and found the sale of the company that no one had bothered to tell him. So he had just got a huge mortgage and no one had told him what was about to come. So he kept his mouth shut. And what he did was put an organized plan, as I look back on the story, in place to get ready, even getting rid of the house. Because if you don't have a job that's as huge as the one that he had, then that house was not going to be affordable because it was on, you know, made out of paper. Because, you know, paycheck to paycheck, it just doesn't work. So he was able to save himself and his family because he knew in advance and could take the time to put those steps in place to make that change. And so you just brought up a whole lot there. Thank you.
That's some good stuff from both of you for sure. Some journeys that I'm extrapolating from both of you and even that story, Ursula. Thank you so much for sharing that. It also reminds me an analogy I often use in my talks and my presentations. You know, a lot of times when we're getting ready to jump into a pool, we get scared. We have a little fear that crosses over us because the water is cold and we don't want to get wet all of a sudden. And everyone else might be in the pool enjoying it and telling you to jump in, but you're standing on the edge and just standing there for 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And eventually, when you do jump in, you look back at yourself and say, why didn't I get in earlier? Why didn't I jump in? And oftentimes, we do that in life as well. We don't make that move for fear, because of fear. Fear of a lot of times those things we don't know what that fear is, but oftentimes it's how we're going to look. Fear of failure, for that matter. So kudos to you, Shamika, for making that move in your career. And I've experienced something like that. And I think it's a little bit more than just that move. I think it's ordained. God is ordering our steps. But that is a whole nother topic right there. But I do have a question about that, though. You know, I mentioned earlier about organized planning and failure. And Thomas Edison, has there ever been a time in your life through this process, through your career, that you've ever felt like quitting or giving up on a plan? And what happened? And for that matter, what has kept you focused to get to the point you are right now in your career?
Oh, wow. Every time I'm asked that question, I think about a pivotal moment in my life when I was a student in college. And there was a moment where I felt like giving up, dropping out of school. It was tough. I went away to college at a university. And as it says on page 108 of the book, quitters never win. And I knew that being the first generation college student, I could not quit. That was not an option for me. And as I was pulling an all-night project or completing an all-night project, words to a poem came to me. So I loved spoken word. I loved performing and doing lots of poetry. So the words of a poem came to me that really motivated me and just gave me the courage, the strength, the energy to
to continue to go on. I have since then, anytime I'm going through a moment where I feel like giving up, I recite that poem. I've performed it, recited, motivated other college students or anyone in particular who wanted to hear it and the pieces of it. Shared that poem with them, and it's really one of those things that help to keep me focused and motivated.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Love to hear about your journey. That is so inspiring. Miss Ann, you've been quiet over there. We're going to queue up and see if you have any questions. But before we do, for our audience, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to press 1 and inquire of our guest. But it looks like we do have a question from Pastor Don, who is out there. Pastor Don, what is your question for either myself or our host or Mrs. Shamika Brathwaite? Pastor Don, you are on.
Okay, can you hear me? Mic check. It's Pastor Don Jr., CEO. It's 8 characters. Very important. You say all those 8 characters. I'm not a white man in Florida. If people Google Pastor Don in Florida, I'll come up as Tom. It's not good. I was on the line listening, and I love what you said about how the fashion industry has changed. My question is, with all these apps coming out, we don't have the storefronts anymore. Once people started purchasing stuff online and going over to China, that took away from the pop-up shops and the independent entrepreneurs and the people actually selling their stuff hand-to-hand. How do you feel that the apps have changed the dynamics of us interacting hand-to-hand as people?
Pastor Don, thank you so much for that question. Yeah, so Shamika, what are your thoughts, especially going back into that industry? Or what are your thoughts as that industry has evolved to with these apps today?
With the apps, well, for me, you know, when I walk into the mall, I feel that this is society or the industry stating their viewpoint on what you should wear. And what I do like personally is that having the option to be able to decide for yourself your style and things that fit to your taste and what you want to wear. And it also has given the opportunity for lots of entrepreneurs. I know have several friends who are entrepreneurs and have the ability to sell clothing online, and it has opened the doors for entrepreneurs to build. You're not spending $80,000 a month for retail space in a mall. So to me, I'm in favor of the online to expand options for people and being able to have a piece of the multi-billion-dollar industry, the pie. There's so much out there. As it discussed in the book, Napoleon Hill's book in Organized Planning, towards the ending of the chapter, he mentions that of how the beauty industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and you know there's a lot to go around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is Anne. I'd like to make a comment, Peter. Yeah, thanks. I think the caller had an excellent question. And as a part of what we're doing here in this show, every Saturday, encouraging people to, you know, how to think and grow richer in every area of our lives and our businesses. And Shamika just brought up a really good point, because with the changing in technology and the industries changing and the apps and different things coming on board, I think it is helping us to broaden our thinking about how we see ourselves, how we see our business, and how we see the future. And for those of us that do not want to make the shift, I remember the tin tub. I might be dating myself a little bit, but, you know, I remember the outhouse. Okay, so sometimes – come on, somebody. Sometimes we have to be shocked or pushed or urged or encouraged.
encouraged to see things differently, and then when we see them differently, they change. We change, but also they change. And I take it back and bring it back to the organized planning, the story that, you know, that talks about how to sell services. And when you read the book and you take services, professional services, you take a widget or a product or whatever you sell, going back to the clothing and going back to the point you made, Shamika, about, you know, you saw in yourself the need to change, and you began to make the change first internally and showed up to work, and then it manifested. I think that that's another show, if you will, when we take that time to do that introspecting, if you will. To me, that's also a part of organized planning. It's a different kind of organized planning, if you will, because it's more internal. So I just wanted to just share that because the caller made a very good point, and I'd like to challenge each and every one of us to think about what will your craft look like 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. And Shamika mm-hmm. brought up the point of leaving a legacy and building a dynasty. You know, depending upon which product or service you choose to use to build that, Shamika, what will it look like 50 years from now? We have one of our co-hosts, Thomasina Williams, that have come on in the past, and she talked about how she's creating an app for the financial services business. Now, the app concept that she's thinking about doing and building is light years ahead, I'm sure, of her competition. So for each one of us, I'd like to challenge all of us and our callers and listeners and people who will be listening to this in the future, what will your business look like 50 years from now, and what can you do today inside the pages of this book and this chapter to begin to think and grow richer in the organized planning of getting on the front end of that? Does that make sense, everybody?
Absolutely, Ms. Anna. And
I'm
I'll even, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I'll even take it a step further from the caller's perspective, but also from Shamika. You know, when I think of apps, especially in many of our businesses that we've described, I think of social media as well. And social media, I don't use it for anything personal, for family stuff at all. I use all social media, whether it is LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, only for business purposes. And even from a perspective of utilizing these applications, these platforms to showcase ourselves, to brand ourselves to a certain extent, and planning effectively on how to do so for the benefit of our businesses, for the benefit of our careers, is so important. 10 years ago, if you think about it from this perspective, a little bit over 10 years ago, Facebook was created. And when it first came out, there was a lot of naysayers out there that said, oh, you know, I'm not getting on this thing. This thing's only a fad. It's going to go away. 11, 12 years later, we're still riding the social media wave. And so as I pass this baton over to Ursula for another question, you know, I encourage our listeners to think about how are you using the resources, the applications, the platforms that are out there to the benefit of your career and your business when they're practically free. So, Ursula, a question for our distinguished guest. Yes.
That was a perfect segue to the question that I actually want to ask. Shamika, how does personal branding work as an effective method of attracting career promotions and opportunities?
Well, career branding or just personal branding as a whole, you know, on page 116, he talks about, and of course, social media wasn't available at that time, but he did talk about media through which your services to be marketed. And, you know, one of the quotes that I came up with that I always tell people, if your name doesn't ring a bell, the door of opportunity remains closed. Uh-huh. And, you know, and what's so important about that is you people like to do business or work with individuals whom they
like, know, and trust. And you want to be able to build your brand, and that could be through several different outlets, whether it's social media, what you do at work. He talks a little bit about the different career things that you should do in order to get your name out there. But what's so important about the personal branding is that it gives you the opportunity to craft that message of how you want others to see you. And with that, that allows for, you know, for others to present an opportunity, a promotion, based on how they see you, as also in what you do. So he talks a lot in the book about the service that you provide and what you do for others, and how, and the quality of that service, and all of that are different elements that make up your brand. And as you develop it, it's a natural cause and reaction for those opportunities to open itself up to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Wow, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Go ahead, Ursula. You were saying something?
Oh, no, that was Anne. Oh, I'm
okay,
sorry. Both
ahead,
of
Anne.
Us have something. If I can go first. Yeah. I just want to ask you, Shamiko, if you can share. I know we're getting ready to go to commercial, but I just want to ask, maybe when we come back, if you can share with us any of your favorite portion of this book. It is so meaty in terms of, you know, the 10 major causes of failure, the 10, you know, attributes of leadership. There's so much in here, but I would just be curious when we come back to hear a little bit more about how you may have applied or applying any one or two or even three of these principles as a part of your business and or life. And I know you shared a little earlier, but I just really would like to hear more about that because I think it's very amazing. Back to you, Ursula.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think she's going to go to commercial, and then when we come back.
International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
We are back, and Shamiko, that was a detailed question by Ms. Ann. Ms. Ann, can you repeat that question again one more time for our listeners and maybe even for Shamiko? Because I think I was trying to write a little bit of it down when you were asking it.
Yeah, no problem. I knew we needed to go to commercial, and I'm taking notes so I can post and tweet a lot of these tweetable. I love the one about the doorbell, so I got to make sure that my name is ringing a bell. But Shamiko, I would love to hear more about, you know, how are you actually, or if you're actually applying any particular principle in the book, and if you have because again, this chapter in particular, organized planning, is so meaty, and there's so much in here. And I'm just curious if there's a particular portion that resonates with you more than any other. And if so, how are you actually applying it to your business and or your life?
Yes. I love that he talks about the major factors of leadership. And two of them that discussed that I do now as a business as well as a career professional is number 6 and number 9. So number 6 is the habit of doing more than paid for. And one of the challenges
that I see where a lot of professionals get stuck in their careers is, you know, they'll come to work and say, well, I get paid to do X, Y, and Z. That is it. If they want me to do more, they need to pay me more. And what happens is that once they start to look for other career opportunities that will promote them, their current skill set is lacking of what they need in order to do that. So, for example, as a professional in academia, there are things that I do that's part of my regular work, but I'm always seeking out ways to present, to collaborate on book projects, and, you know, learn more opportunities to write grants. And this is beyond my regular job description, but however, it's building the necessary skill set that I would need as a professional speaker in my business. If I know how to write grants, if I know how to collaborate on book projects as well as speak at conferences, by doing that would only enhance the service and the work that I do for the college, but as well as my business. And if should I want to become a dean or a vice president of the college, I would then have the skill set in order to do that. So that's one of the challenges that I see people do. They say, well, that's not part of my job description, and I'm not going to do that, and there's a deficit. The second thing is the mastery of detail. So being able to be a master at your craft and what it is that you do. I call it the DOPE skills, and that stands for done on precise execution. And I always think about, what are my DOPE skills of what I bring to the table and how I deliver? And that's part of my brand, my reputation of anything that I do. I go above and beyond and have such a commitment to excelling, of providing excellence to whatever it is that I'm involved with. So those are the two skills I would say from the book on being a great leader or growing and demonstrating that would be two solid examples.
Thank you so much for answering that. You know, I love, first of all, I wrote down a few things there, Shamika. So DOPE, I'm definitely using that one too. Hopefully you don't mind if I use that one. Done on precise execution. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's okay. Very, very awesome. I also love the 11 major factors of leadership. You had mentioned the habit of doing more than paid for. Wow, you're absolutely right. I hear so many people who are just doing what they are told to do, and that's just it. And I think that's just a recipe for disaster, for lack of a better word. I'm also a big fan of the definiteness of plans, which of course says successful leaders must plan their work and work their plan. So yes. Thank you so much for highlighting those 11 major factors of leadership. Any of those other factors jump off the page from you there, Shamika? No, I'm putting you on the spot with that question, but any of those that you love as well?
Any additional ones you said?
Yeah, those 11 major factors of leadership. I know there's unwavering courage, self-control, a keen sense of justice, cooperation, mastery of detail. So many. I love the one that you identified, the habit of doing more than paid for. But I think they're just all so robust and so easy to to adapt in your own life, you know?
Yes, I would certainly, if I had to add two more, I would certainly say cooperation, leveraging skill sets, collaborating with people for resources, knowledge. That's very important. A pleasing personality.
Sure,
I believe
sure.
that, you know, you having a winning personality is great. People are attracted to that. You walk into the room, you set the tone. Your energy lighten up the room or the place. And to me, you know, when I was a younger professional in my career, I would dim my light and my shine so I won't intimidate or you know, anyone, or just being able to make anyone feel any certain way. But now I'm walking into that confidence of being who I am and being having a pleasing personality, a winning personality. That's something that I take with me. And then, you know, having definiteness of plans, that's something just to be committed to it and holding true to that, that has been extremely helpful.
Very, very awesome. Very, very awesome. So listen, I want to ask one of the final questions of our host here. You know, what's next for Shamika, one? And two, how do our listeners get in touch with you as you continue on this journey? So, yeah, that's a twofold question. What's next on the agenda? What's next in your career and business?
Well, the good thing is I'm so happy that I started the day off with this phone call. Yesterday was my birthday. And
happy birthday.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
That was also the first
time.
Day of summer as well. You know that, right?
Yes, the first day of summer, the longest day of the year. And every
birthday
I come up, and it's my birthday. And I wanted to, you know, and it wasn't planned. It's just one of those things, as you put things into the universe, it manifests itself. I said, you know, I turned 37.
Absolutely.
And this is a very pivotal point of being strategic, coming up with organized plan before I hit that milestone year in 3 years, which I'll be 40. And I said, this year would be my think and grow rich year. And I'm telling you, having Anne contact me for this show, I could not have planned that. I mean, that's definitely a divine timing. But to start the first day now, doing this show, the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, the timing is great. And this year is really about laying down the foundation for the next 3 years and taking my business to the next level, really implementing the strategies, holding true to my mastermind group to hold me accountable for those goals that I'm setting out into place. But I really want to manifest the riches, Think and Grow Rich, to another level this year. That is my goal, whether it's writing a book, doing more speaking, working with more people, coaching more individuals and professionals, that just doing it on a new level and not holding back on my imagination on what is possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And also I'm gonna throw this back out to our listeners out there. We're not quite done yet. So if you have a question of Shamika, please don't hesitate to press one. But Shamika, how can our listeners get in touch with you? Where are you in cyberspace and where mm-hmm. where are you located? What's your handles?
Yes. Yeah, so my home base is my website, www.shamikabrathwaite.com. I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So those are the different spaces. Twitter is at Shamika_speak, and everything else is my name, Shamika Brathwaite.
Very, very, very cool. Thank you so much.
And
for
you
that. Listen, that was
it.
That was very dope, actually. So, actually, Miss Anne, you were saying?
Yeah, have her spell it so that the listeners in the future who are listening to this on a podcast or on Twitter or LinkedIn and don't see the show, they can find her. So if you would go a little slower and spell it for them so they can find you.
Okay, yes. It's www.shamika, S-H-E-M-E-K-A, Brathwaite, BRATHWAITE.com.
Very, very cool. And listeners, you got to get connected with her. I've already sent her an invite or a follow on LinkedIn, so very, very awesome. But Miss Anne, Miss Ursula, this has been very robust. This has been very exciting. I've learned a lot from Shamika. Let's start with you, Ursula. And what is your biggest takeaway from Shamika, especially as we've had this dialogue, as we've had these questions and answers? I've written down a whole 3x5 card, both sides of notes. Ursula, what is your big aha or your big takeaway from our distinguished guests?
There are so many, but I'll boil it down to a couple of things. When I mentioned about her branding and her pipeline to action that she has structured in her signature line, I really like that. And also, she gave a title to what my vision board says. I have skills that I want to turn into company departments. And so I want to build a legacy. No, I want to build a dynasty and leave a legacy. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for sharing, Ursula. I appreciate it. Miss Ann, Shamika was a great guest. What is your biggest takeaway from Shamika?
Oh, you had to use the word biggest because I have five. So now you got to make me choose just one. Let me see. Eeny, meeny, miny.
Well, give us all five. Give us what
you
have.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first, a must-read book. I mean, run out the gate, Shamika, when you said that this book is a must-read book. That is so tweetable. It is so true because we know that some of the most successful people living today and past have read this book. But then we want to do it our own way. Okay, that's one for me. The other one, and Ursula said it, it is build a dynasty, leave a legacy. And that really, for me, connects with something that we hear from Nito Cobain that talks about, you know, everything we do should be intentional. And we always hear about leaving a legacy, but what we don't really do, most of us, we don't go as far as to, first of all, decide what legacy you want to leave and then live it. As a part of my coaching program, I start by asking people to bring me their obituary. And once they sometimes get over the reality of you are going to leave here, so what do you want to have said about you? And I think that that ties into leaving a legacy, but not just leaving a legacy, but building a dynasty in that legacy to leave. And I want to go back again to Thomasina Williams that always talking about, you know, as a family, what does that look like? And getting help in determining how to do it while you're living. And then when you talked about dope skills, first of all, my mind jumped ahead to dope, you know, the other dope that is becoming legal. This is legal dope. Legalized, you know. Come on, you know, really? It's memorable. It is memorable. It is precise. It is done. It's executed. It's all those keywords that requires action. And so I cannot type fast enough. So I'll leave it at those. And I've already mentioned the fact that if my name does not ring a bell, the opportunity remains closed. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Miss Ann. You just dropped the mic, yes, on that one. There was not much left to say. Actually, you didn't leave me too much, Miss Ann. So, Shamika, I will just say this. As a fellow educator, I'm inspired by your journey. I think our educational system is due for disruption, is due for a shift, and educators like yourself are really can lead that journey for sure. I love some of these things that my co-hosts here have provided, leave a legacy, build a dynasty. One of the biggest things that talking with you made me think of is a lot of times when we sit out on our careers and our paths and our businesses, we're thinking about money, 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 money. And what you said with some of your quotes and some of your phrases here made me think of it's more than money. We need to think about, what are we leaving with our clients? What is the why that our clients are coming to work with us for? And that is way more important than just the money, because if we don't take care of that why and that how and that what and that when, that money is not going to come. And what I heard from you in this entire presentation, in this entire conversation here today, was diving into that why, your why, and that really jumped off the page when I was taking all of my notes. So thank you so much for sharing that. Any closing thoughts from you, Samika, based on all of that? I know that was loaded, right?
that was certainly loaded. I mean, I'm just so happy that, you know, organized planning is so key for us, and being able to, whatever it is that stood out for you today, to take some type of action on it and implementing it, not to just hear it, but actually do it. That's my last takeaway.
Very, very awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost wrapping up here, but before we conclude, I do have to put a plug in for our International Mastermind Association end of the year, actually beginning of the year, Day of Goal Setting and Accountability. This is our annual accountability meeting held on January 4th. 2020 in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. And it is being led by our distinguished Miss Ann McNeil. And I have to say, this is a must go to event for the beginning of every year. And the reason that we are talking about it so early is so that our listeners can plan to be at this event. And although it's over 6 months away, put it on your calendars, put a hashtag on your calendars, mastermind. We talked about accountability in this session today, in this presentation today, in this conversation today. And accountability is so, so important for us to achieve whatever goals we are setting out to. And in this Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting, here is where we hold each other accountable. We talk about our goals for the new year. We talk about what we are looking to accomplish and our ambitions, but then we hold each other accountable. And if you're like me, you've taken that to the next step after attending this meeting. You're taking that to the next step, having an accountability partner, having a mastermind, and allowing that to sow into my day-to-day in order to accomplish all of my dreams. So if you are definitely interested, and you should be, go to internationalmasterminders.com. That is internationalmasterminders.com. And check out this event, which is the Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting, which will be held on January 4th, 2020 at the Embassy Suites by Hilton Boca Raton. Ladies, any closing thoughts, Ms. Ann, Ms. Ursula, as we go ahead and wrap things up today, any closing thoughts for our audience?
Yeah, this is Ann. I think I've said enough, and you just put the icing. Listen, you just put the icing on the cake regarding the annual meeting, because we can talk about planning the business and all of these things. And like I shared before the show started, my question and my drive and my desire in helping to host this show for the last almost 12 years is to encourage people to plan your life. And as I was listening to Samika talk about the many parts of the planning, oftentimes, I just speak for myself, for many years in the starting of my business, I thought that my name was MCO Construction. I thought my name was the name of my business. I thought that my name was everything relating to my business except, you know, Ann McNeil, and I had it inverted. And I share that because as we talk about the organized planning and we wrap this chapter up, one of the reasons why we do the annual meeting is to encourage people to get off the treadmill of life. And in getting off that treadmill, come the beginning of the year and be willing to be held accountable to a tribunal, I'll call it, where you get to determine whether or not you get another 365 days based upon how you spent or invested the last 365 days of the year. And that's what we do. And I thank you so much, Peter, for coming and then committing yourself and even starting your mastermind group after you left, because you saw the need for accountability at a different level.
So, like I said, you know, y'all know I can go on and on. This is one of the passions of my life. And so I'm gonna turn it over to our other co-host and let her share her closing moments. And Shamika, we cannot express to you enough about how appreciative we are in having you. And so you know you're going to have to come back because there are other chapters in the book. So just listen out for us. We'll follow up with you and schedule to have you back because you haven't even scratched the surface.
Hi, this is Ursula. Okay, so I don't have anything else to say because I'm dying to get back to it to take action on some of the things you talked about. So the sign of a successful show is that I can't wait to go do what you've told me to do.
Very awesome. Thank you so much, Ursula. Action. Yes. Now what are you going to do with all of this information, all of this, these nuggets that Shamika has given us today? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on another edition of Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Organized Planning. Today, our guest was Shamika Brathwaite. Until next week, I bid you farewell. Please be safe. Enjoy this new beginning to the summer and look forward to seeing you on the flip side. My name is Peter James, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich. The original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.